Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Kristen and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back. Episode 173 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everybody? What's up, TK173? Time is flying. Who do we have today to bring to the table?
We got something different. Yep. We got Janine Alice. Sorry about that pause. I've just got some new equipment, and I'm just making sure that everything is leveling
just
up.
Just playing with the toys, kid.
But Janine, yeah, we've actually, you know, it's a great interview. Hopefully, it's come through pretty well. Unfortunately, we got a few malfunctions, so we've had to switch to the phone interview, which I'm pretty sure came through pretty good anyway, but it's a little bit different to our normal nice Skype quality recording, so we do apologize early in the piece if anything is kind of a little bit fussy, but I hope not.
Yeah, guys, Aussies, you may know her, Americans. Her business ventures equal over $2 billion. She netted over $60 million last year. She's the brains behind Boost Juice. So the adversity that we went through, you know, technical difficulties, it was going in and out. You do things that we'll get through things like that, right? To get a chat with her.
Yeah, there's some great content on there, and like Johnny mentioned, you know, she's the owner of Boost Juice, and who hasn't had Boost Juice? I think it's found in like 20 countries now, so I'm sure that even our American audience
is it out of? I didn't know that. Yeah, I thought it was only in Australia.
It's international now, man. Oh, wow. So I'm sure that it probably has trekked somehow into America. So I'll have to look that up.
It's similar to Americans. It's similar to Jamba Juice. Yeah. So our version is Jamba Juice. Hers is Boost Juice. The research I've done and the questions we asked, it was pretty interesting because what she did was she went to America. She saw what America was doing about 15, 20 years ago in that space of like offering like a fast food alternative to like healthy foods. And she just said that Australia didn't have it. And
it's perfect timing. Because,
brilliant. You're
because
right.
Because back then, timing. Australia was 15 years behind America. Right now, we're only probably a week.
Are you equating that to like technology or like trends?
Technology trends.
Probably social media helped catch up.
Social media
right?
Definitely made it catch up. Yeah. Just different things. Like back then, we only had one game of NBA. Now we have all the NBA
yeah,
games.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, like, how the social construct has shifted because
has.
Of social media. It's kind of...
Because of sports being available.
Now.
Yeah, business wow. more. Everyone... Because you can... It doesn't matter where you live. You can see what anyone does who
yeah.
wants to post anything they will have. So whether someone of influence, they just take example, Jay-Z, we yeah. might have had to wait 2 months for a front page of a cover to come out. Now we can just see him on Instagram
yeah.
at the same time as an American or... someone from Norway, England, anywhere they are, we all see it at the same time.
I think, like, you and I, our generation, we probably could get caught up in taking that for granted, but we won't ever fully because we were raised when we were kids without social media and without that sort of technology. But imagine the kids now who were born in, like, 2006, who are now, like, you know, 11 or even before wow. that, teenagers who only they know is that connection of, like, they can look up anything they want at the fingertips. I think we're the last generation that could appreciate, like, waiting for things.
It just felt so much different.
Think about, like, waiting for things, how that yeah. molded you and I, well, that patience of having to wait 1 week to watch the scores of the game.
But even before, like, until maybe last year, they used to put, like, our TV shows on delay. So we might not see a TV show till 6 months, or unless you kind of have some sort of download function. That was the only way to keep up with America. But now it's everything on the same day. On demand, all that sort of stuff. I remember back in 92
wow.
when I first went to America, my brother got a pair
How
of Michael Jordans. I was 10 years old.
You went 92?
Yeah, that's the first time I went. But it was incredible because it felt like a different...
You were on a
different planet.
Yeah.
I bought like I think Dad bought me a pair of like Reebok pumps or something.
I had a pair of pumps. What color? The teal ones?
For you guys, that was normal. For us, I went home.
And you were the star.
And I was the star because no one else got them for like another 12 months.
You had the fresh stuff. I actually have seen you recently rock, maybe it was in old photos, you would rock the old school like throwback NBA jerseys. I wanted to ask you, I saw you training in a couple before and maybe you had some on your old, you know, old pictures. Was that ever a trend in Australia when
yeah,
you were talking about...
Yeah, and like they're called Keppers. Did you wear Kepper jeans? They were kind of like baggy jeans sort of thing.
We had a pair, they called them Janko, J-N-C-O.
Maybe they were the same thing.
Probably sort of thing. But was it like culturally like cool to wear NBA jerseys here?
You guys wear a little bit differently. So I remember the first time I went, a lot of the African-American guys would wear very long jerseys.
Oh, yeah. Americans in general, disregard, we wear baggy clothes.
Yeah, but I mean
general.
Like... literally, because they were tall, but still.
We had the rap game. That's why. Like, the hip-hop culture transcended into sports in, like, the late 80s with, like, you know, not even, who am I thinking of? Run DMC and NWA. That like, Ice Cube's movement. That's when, like, the music went into sports.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because, like, in Australia, that you just don't have that culture.
No, I don't think so.
So was that a culture shock when you went there as a 10-year-old?
A little bit, but I was probably guarded a little bit.
Where'd you go?
Just to California. So, virtually, we spent the majority of time between LA and Anaheim. So,
okay, Disneyland.
Yeah.
Disneyland. Of course, you went to the
Universal Studios.
That's cool, man.
Sport little kid.
Hey, that's good news, man. Your parents loved you. Shout out to Pops and your brother Mark.
Yeah,
Keto
happy
Kid.
Birthday.
The Keto Kid. And your birthday, brother. You guys are close. You were last week, the 13th.
He was yesterday.
So he was yesterday.
70.
Your brother turned 70. That's wild. Mark, you're getting old. No, your
yeah,
pops.
He's getting old, man.
Is it your pops' birthday?
Yeah,
or
it was my old man's birthday.
That's awesome.
70.
Man.
70.
Much love
shout
to
out
pops.
To him. Guys, just a big shout out to you guys tuning into the show. Really appreciate the messages of support. If you haven't yet, please jump on iTunes, search Vision Board Podcast. If you can, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Helps us grow. Helps us bring, you know, episodes like this with Janine to more people.
So. That's it, man. That's how we get these guests, is because of the road work that we paved the last 2 years, because you guys keep tuning in. And if, you know, you don't have the iTunes, go to our website. We got a lot of good stuff there, thevisionboardpodcast.com. You get to know Tristan and I a little bit more. And, yeah, check us out.
Yeah, but let's get straight to it.
Janine.
Let's introduce Janine Alice. All right, guys, our special guest is Janine Alice. Janine is the founder and director of Boost Juice Bars and Retail Zoo. She's also an investor on Network 10's Shark Tank and is one of Australia's most respected business people. And she's also the author of The Accidental Entrepreneur. I welcome Janine Alice. Janine, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Janine, this is Johnny. We appreciate you stopping by the vision board. Like Tristan aforementioned, the credentials are extremely impressive. I wanted to start this off. I've been in Australia for 4 years living in Sydney, and everywhere I turn, you know, the Boost Juice pops up. Was this 17 years ago? Was this a vision of yours?
Look, the vision was always to be a national brand and to be a top iconic brand in the Australian market. And the thing is, a lot of people have that vision. But to make that come alive was sort of where the hard work, because it's pretty easy. You can say a vision in 25 seconds,
yeah.
But it takes 7 years later to 17 years to get that vision to a reality.
When you first started sharing this with your friends, your group of, you know, your circle of influence, how many people, was it you and like a partner? Did you have a team or was it just yourself?
Basically, it was myself and my husband who, you say that I share it with my team. I had, I was pretty much a mother of three kids and, you know, there wasn't much of a team around me. So it was really sort of my husband and I that sort of went, okay, I said I didn't want to go back to work anymore. I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to have the flexibility of running my own race and the creative pursuit to do it as well. So he was working full-time in radio. And so I didn't go back after my maternity leave. And so we started looking for a business that we thought would be something we'd like to do. We tried a few false starts, as you always do. And then it was really going to the States and seeing that the category was over there and being around there about 7 years at the time. And so really it was, I didn't really like the concepts, but really with the idea, a spark of an idea of going, look, there is nothing in the Australian market that is even close to being healthy. And then really putting the sense that I have of love, life and positivity that I have naturally, and really creating a brand that I thought was, you know, what I wanted as a consumer and what I wanted to feel passionate about.
Janine, you're a Melbourne girl. I was just always intrigued. The first shop was actually in Adelaide. How come you chose Adelaide as your first location?
Oh, because I had no idea what I was doing. half of what I've done in my career is because of complete naivety and not knowing. I certainly wouldn't recommend someone starting their first store in a whole other state that they don't live and never lived and don't really know much about. My husband is from Adelaide. He knew more about it, but it was really, you know, if you rewind sort of 18 months prior to that, we did get into business with my accountant and lawyer at the time. We did a business, our first one was actually in Melbourne on Jam Factory called Seduce. And that partnership didn't end well. And first lesson in business about, you know, getting into business with the right partners. And so it was actually on the second round, which is, you know, we then went, okay, that didn't work out. Let's go down another path. That it all actually, you know, came, you know, we actually did it our way, and it was a better experience because there was no one else involved. And it was also a bunch of Jeff's mates who, the radio guys, who actually put some money together, and we raised $250,000, and off we went onto our own, you know, journey. But yeah, and we found a site in Adelaide, crap site, terrible deal, no air conditioning. Heritage listed building, couldn't have been worse, but it got us going.
How much time did you actually have to spend in Adelaide? Did you spend a lot of time there or just weekends? How did that work?
Oh, no, a lot of time. You know, you got to remember I was a mother of three little kids. You know, one was still on the breastfeeding when I started Boost. So I had great support from my mum who came and helped me. But yeah, no, I was always on a plane, going to Adelaide, sorting it out, coming back. Yeah, but the beauty of actually doing Adelaide is, you know, I got a great manager in there, and so from the word go, it wasn't scary for me to go to interstate because I started interstate. I wasn't sucked into the working the business, so I could work on the business because I wasn't based in Adelaide. So in actual fact, in hindsight, it did actually work out really quite well. But you know, again, I don't think I'd recommend it.
Yeah, the E-Myth book, Gerber, work. Yeah, everyone listening at home, that's great business advice. Work on your business, not in your business. Janine, I'm slowly in the waters of creating, you know, stepping into the small business ownership, and I'm finding it difficult to, like, shrink in bigger ideas into smaller things to keep it simple. I'll use In-N-Out Burger in Southern California. If anybody goes to In-N-Out, there's six things on the menu. It's been the same way since the 1960s. They didn't overcomplicate things. When you were getting Boost off the ground, how many different rough drafts were you like creating products, canceling them out, adding things in? And in that process, when it finally clicked, what would you say your point of difference was, which made it what made Boost take it to the next level?
I think if I had a superpower, I think my superpower is keeping things simple. So I started simple at the start. So there wasn't like a list of 100 smoothies that I did and I broke it down to the top 15. In actual fact, pretty much what's on the menu today, at least 70% of it, was pretty much what I started with. And so there wasn't many changes, and we kept it really simple. You know, the format and the flow of the store were simple. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in making sure that you don't overcomplicate it. And look, we have overcomplicated things at different times, and then you sort of, yeah, again, dumb it right down to the lowest, you know, to the lowest common, which was me.
And so was the goal at the time, like you said, you went to the States, you saw the market there, you said that wasn't being served in Australia. Was that to provide the common person kind of like a fast alternative to something healthy rather than eating fast food? Or what was your initial goal with wanting to help the Australian public?
Look, the growth in obesity in the Australian market and the world market is absolutely in line with the growth of fast food. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could create a product that could help people be healthy, help people get more fruit and vegetables into their diet, but also has to 100% taste amazing. So that's how Boost was created and developed, was the wouldn't it be good if. And also in the market, there was nothing you could go out and it was even half decent for you or half healthy. So, you know, for us it was, you know, let's do it with a smile and a bit of cheek, and off we went.
Yeah, Janine, you got a really amazing story. You know, I was listening to one of your interviews the other day, and you mentioned how you and your husband had to, you know, remortgage your house just to keep things afloat. You know, you also battled through a period like the GFC. How was that period for the business?
Well, actually, we didn't mortgage our house. We sold our house.
Yeah, okay.
Was what we did, and put all the money into the business. The GFC didn't affect us at all. Actually, it was we never felt that. And I think the Australian market really didn't really go through a GFC. In fairness, because our resources were so strong. New South Wales was going through a bit of a tight bit. So for us, unlike America and many other countries, England, it really did hit hard. So for us, our GFC is weather. You know, so if we have a really bad weather or period of weather, that affects our sales more than anything else, or bad publicity. I mean, like, you know, we get hit sometimes with, you know, the sugar tag where, you know, the journalists will find our absolute highest sugar product and the largest one they can and then compare it. And they won't mention the fact that most of our smoothies are actually a third of all of that and hardly any calories or less calories than an apple. So, but they don't mention that. So quite a, those are the things that affect us more than outside environmental. But, you know, going forward, you know, things that will change is, you know, you've got Amazon Prime coming into the Australian market. What that does is it doesn't necessarily... It's a competitor to us because, you know, it's hard to find good smoothies online, but it will actually to drag people out of shopping centres. So, you know, if there's literally 10, 15% less people walking by the store, then potentially it's 10 to 15% less people.
That's an interesting factor. Yeah, because the Boost that I'm familiar with is right outside on George Street on, you know, in Sydney CBD. I wanted to ask you, you know, we talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and people who have great visions and they've kickstarted and it's become a big brand. They always have that one moment they tell stories with Tristan and I about almost needing to pack it in, or, you know, they almost gave up on their vision and they're glad they didn't. Did you ever have that moment?
Oh, look, there was times when I didn't want to play anymore. As a mother of four kids now, there's days I don't want to be a mother as well. And there's definitely times I don't want to be a wife. You're human. You know, there's times when you just go, yeah, I'm not having fun today. You know, every single phone call that comes in is some sort of disaster. And you go, oh, God, you can write a check with anything on it. It's yours. You know, that's normal, you know. And I think you work so hard building your own business, you know, you have to sometimes have a break from it to love it again. But that's a bit like kids, really. So it's, you know, if someone says that they've never one moment felt disillusioned by what they're on in their journey, well, I think they're lying, because I think everyone at some point goes through a period where they go, it's just too hard, it's not working, and it could be hormonal, it could be anything, but, you know, we're all human, and there's days when you just go, oh, God, if someone slaps me once more time, I might not get up. But that's business, and that's the roller coaster that is business, you know. And to be honest, I would much rather in life have a roller coaster with really great scary ups and scary downs than being on the merry-go-round where it's nice and safe but nothing really exciting happens in your life.
Yeah, you just spoke about having a break, Janine. I see that you've just come out of a bit of wellness through yoga, and you're also a qualified yoga teacher and things like that. How do you handle your own wellness, and what are some of the things that you're trying to push for your own employees?
Look, you know, I've always had an interest in health and hence why the business, but I'm not a, you know, I need to only drink fruit that has been blessed by the monks in the Himalayas. I'm not one of them. But, you know, so I am pretty much an average Aussie, you know, who, you know, likes a glass of wine, a good cocktail, but, you know, I do believe in not having processed food, and I do believe in having food as close to nature as I possibly can. And I've lost my whole train of thought of what the question was. What was the question?
Just what you do for yourself wellness-wise and also for your employees.
Yep, it's come back. Right, so for me, pretty much 30 to 40, when I was sort of running the business, you know, full-time and, you know, 100 hours a week, there was no balance. There was no fitness. There wasn't any coffee with anyone. There wasn't any anything. There was just head down, bum up and work. And I don't want to sound that as a, you know, poor me. It was far from that. I loved it. It was an exciting journey of learning. You know, God, if our quest as human beings is to learn and develop, well, God, I was living my dream. But, you know, there was a time when, you know, I remember one time thinking, sat down and went, my God, when was the last time I ate? And I think that I calculated it was 4 days since I even had a bit of food, because you just get in this fight and flight mode where you just get on with it. I had, you know, I never went to the hairdressers. I had hair down to my bottom that was curly. I looked like a complete hippie that could run naked in the bush. You know, it was, you just go hard. And it was only probably since I hit my 40s that I started yoga, I started horse riding, I started surfing, I took up tennis, and started to actually have a balance. But if you think you can have a successful business or be the top of your game and get life balance, well, you're dreaming.
I think one of my favorite things about the business model with the Boost Juice is that me as a consumer, I could see the worker put the fruit or the vegetable, whatever one I choose, like the ginger, into the blender. That's important for me. So I know that those ingredients are fresh. But only like before that business model, whether it was, you know, your company or companies before, people would just press the button, like soda drinks, and you press the button, it's already pre-made. We all know how bad that is for you. You being an innovator, where your business model is with the fresh products being made on site, where do you see the next level of growth is, or the next step of evolution with that business model?
I think at the end of the day, again, keep it simple. You know, we're always looking at new products. You know, at the moment there's a real trend on Greek yogurt, you know, no sugar Greek yogurt, and there's a trend for, you know, really having, you know, very, very little sugar, which is obviously a challenge for us because there's sugar in fruit. So, but there's, you know, certainly ways we can actually look at appealing to various other consumers. You know, the innovation, you know, do we have a central kitchen where we actually do a massive delivery program? You know, possibly. You know, there's all sorts. You've got to continue to look outside the square and look outside your own, what you've done. I mean, someone said, and I agree with them, is the five most expensive words in business is we've always done it that way. And, you know, and that has never been more true than this period where, you know, companies that have been incredibly successful for the last 100 years, you know, because they haven't adapted and changed, are failing at a speed we've never seen businesses fail before.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Just with adapting to change, you know, I was just reading a stat, just with all this stuff going on with, excuse me, with Lisa Wilkinson from leaving from Channel 9 to Channel 10, I just come up with a few stats that over the ASX 200, you know, in 2009, women only accounted for 8.3% of board seats, which has jumped up to 25% at the end of last year. Now, with someone like yourself, who's been successful in across different, you know, businesses, and you've been on the board of Hawthorne and things like that, despite all your success, have you ever faced, you know, not discrimination, or maybe you can say discrimination from men or the society?
Never. No, I haven't. And I don't know whether it's because that's how I think. I don't go into a room and go, oh, my God, it's a room full of men. I just go into a room and go, what's my objective out of this meeting? And what's this, what can I get out of them?
The law of abundance.
Yeah, and the reality is also, have I come across men that have looked at me and gone, I don't know quite what to do with her. You know, she's not dressed corporate, so I can't relate her to the corporate women I know. I can't relate her to my wife, can't relate her to my sister or mother, so not sure where to put her. And that's exactly where I'd like to be. You know, I like people sort of not having a rule that they've followed in the past. I think it puts me in a great advantage. So I've never seen being a female as a negative. In actual fact, it's only been a positive. And but look, you know, I don't live in the corporate world, and so I don't live in a world where, you know, that there is a pay discrepancy, or that, you know, I want to get into politics and I can't because of that, or I want to be a director on ASX top 100 or top 200 because there's not the spaces. I haven't done that, but I do think I haven't wanted it or needed it to then come across those barriers. I'm also an incredible person that is very much on solution focused. So if I wanted that, if that was what my dream would be, I would find a way. I would just keep bashing at doors until they tell me to go away. So I'm a firm believer in people being accountable for their own actions moving forward. I do think, though, that there's very much cultural change that needs to move, so that it's not just an assumption that the boys do it this way and the girls do it this way. I mean, it's moved a long way. I mean, God, it's not unrecognizable from the days that my grandmother was around and she wasn't allowed to work because she was married. Miles away from that. But I think that it takes a couple of generations. I mean, I look at my sons and I look who they date and I look at their expectations when they marry, and their expectation is they have an equal partnership.
Yeah.
They're not going into – my dad went into marriage saying that, okay, I'm getting married, I've got to be the breadwinner, I've got to my wife has to stay at home and raise my children and make sure I have dinner on the table. That there's no longer that expectation. I mean, my son actually said to me, hey, mate, if I get married, she's got to pay her way. You know? So it's interesting to see the change. Yeah, I know, seriously.
That's awesome. And
it's interesting to see the change in how they are. I mean, my oldest son is a full-on hippie in the bush, and he couldn't think of anything better than being a stay-at-home dad, and his wife goes out and work, but he'll look after the kids. I mean, he would be doing a happy dance at that. So it's not – we're no longer through this generation, and I think it might take another couple of generations to get there.
Yeah.
Just assume – I mean, my daughter will be raised and will grow in an era that she would just go, well, what do you mean I can't do what I want? What do you mean I can't be the – you know, the president of the United States, which you can be because she's an American. But, yeah, so you can – the generation that we're raising now can – do not have any barriers. I mean, she will turn to me and go, what, there was a rule that said same sex can't marry? You're kidding. How archaic, you know, how bizarre is that?
Yeah.
When I sit down and talk to my grandmother or my mother and hear about some of the things that, you know, that their expectation back then, like in 1955, there was something called the Good Housewife Guide that was listed in the papers, which actually told wives how to behave, including, you know, make sure that when he comes home that, you know, he might be tired, don't bother him too much. If he wants to go out without you, that's okay. Like, ridiculous stuff, which were guides to make us better women. I mean, seriously. We've come a long way, but it is ridiculous that we've even had to come a long way.
I like what you said, though, that, your children, maybe generations from now, that, you know, they'll definitely have the mindset that they can accomplish anything. And that's just like the breaking down of these social constructs that, you know, were created decades and generations ago. But through that struggle, it's always proven that the greatest things come out of that. It's like, you know, the benefits of that adversity, and sometimes it's needed for great things to, to come to fruition. Through your experience where you are today, I'm sure your goals are still as lofty as they were 20 years ago. How important has adversity been through you and your development?
You mean diversity? I don't actually quite understand what you mean.
So, like, the times where things didn't go your way. You know, the times...
Oh, look, there's no question. Oh, sorry, adversity.
Adversity.
I thought you said diversity.
No.
What do you mean? Adversity. Look, there is no question that there's periods in the business that where you've just want to rock quietly in the corner and not play anymore, that you look back in hindsight and go, they were the best times in my learning and development. You learn 10 times more when things go wrong than when things go right. So in actual fact, embracing when it goes wrong and learning from it and ensuring the business is stronger for it is actually what we need to do as businesses. And if we're in a business that's not making mistakes, and then we're not trying hard enough, we're not innovating, we're not failing fast. So it's incredibly important that it's okay to fail once, not okay to fail twice, but it's okay to fail, you know, fail in other areas, but don't fail in the same way. But because, you know, that's how you learn. That's how my business is strong and robust, is because of all the mistakes I've made.
Yeah. Janine, what's your opinion now on formal education? Because, you know, in your 20s and early 30s, you know, you're traveling, traveling the world. You just mentioned your hippie son as well. What's your advice to your own children in terms of education?
My kids are at that age where they've just finished school and they're now in uni, and, you know, there's different stories for different kids, to be honest, and I think that's the answer. Like, my my son's girlfriend wants to be a doctor, and so she is very serious. She's going down. She's got years ahead of her of study, and she will get there. You know, I've got my other son who's got friends who don't know what they want to do. They've gone to uni. The parents are paying for it. They get stoned and drunk on weekends and during the week and just having a doddle and wasting their time. You know, personally, get out and get a freaking job, you know. Like, you're going to learn more from working than you are getting stoned and drunk, having a doddle on your parents' money doing uni. Like, so I think it's horses for courses. So for me, with my kids, it's whatever they want to do, I'll support. You know, school wasn't for my oldest son. It wasn't, you know, he did, you know, HSE. You know, he actually did year 11, and it wasn't for him to go on to year 12. And so he did a further study in massage and Chinese medicine. You know, my next son at uni is for him. He likes the uni environment. He wants to do business. He wants to do well. You know, it's something that you go, yep, we'll have to support. My next son, who's incredibly smart, wants to be in the digital world, and the best way for him to be in digital is actually work in digital, because the universities can't keep up with the speed of what's happening in the digital world. And so for him, it was better him getting a job. Because actually he said to me, which is right, he said, because he's working in the business here, he said, so, Mum, why would I go to uni to get a job in digital if I can go and get a job in digital? I went, that's fair enough. Yeah. So for me, I don't look at, you know, if I don't look at someone's resume and go, oh, my God, they haven't got a university degree, I don't care what they've done after that. You know, because who you are when you are 18, 19, 20, and who you are at 27, 28, 29 is not even a recognisable person in some people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And boys, you know, can't help it, but their brain doesn't fully develop when they're 27. You know, their decision-making processes are appalling up until 27. And I'm sure you guys can relate to
for
that.
For sure, right? Yeah.
And, you know, and so yeah, I'm sure, and I'm, you know, my son's now 27 next year, and I can't wait for him to get there, you know. So, and then girls apparently 22. So you do have to, and that's when you're supposed to be forging your, you know, your study and career. So, you know, I'm a firm believer that the best study that anyone can do is travel around the world for a year. You know, it learns problem-solving skills. It learns diversity, understanding other people's needs, understanding other people's cultures, understanding problem-solving. I mean, if you want problems, then travel. There's all sorts of problems you get into when you travel. So, you know, I think my point is education comes in all sorts of different forms. And sometimes people are students better when they're older than when they're younger. So just because you know, failed your HSC or didn't get your marks or didn't do year 12 because it wasn't for you has no relevance of whether you'll succeed in life, none at all. In actual fact, I think of all the people on Shark Tank, and I think there's only one of us or maybe two of us out of the five that actually did uni. Like, so,
yeah.
And there's many, many people that I can list off who are, you know, up at the top of their field who, you know, who did a different course, a different way. So, you know, it is, you can't be judged by what your thought process is when you're in your early 20s or late teens. I mean, God help us if that was the case.
Yeah. Janine, you know, you just mentioned Shark Tank. You've also got your new book as well. How important is it to build a personal brand away from your company brand?
I think that for me, building I was in publicity prior to starting Boost, so I understood the media and I understood the value of PR. And you got to remember, we had no money, so the only way of getting the Boost word out there was for me to do a lot of publicity and work at the time, and then also spend a lot of mornings taking smoothies into radio station into the media, so they understood us. The book was sort of put out there mainly to assist and help people understand the journey and hopefully connect with the brand, but also to on-pass some of the learnings. And, you know, what I'm really proud of is what we've achieved at Boost have inspired many people to go on to start their own business and go, actually, I can do it and give it a go. So, and hopefully books like that can actually help people go, okay. And you know, what I found when I was reading books for people that have been on the journey before me, you know, whether it's a McDonald's book or a Starbucks book or, you know, the Elon Musk book, which I read recently, what it shows you is that people have the same challenges. It's, you know, a lot of them nearly go broke. A lot of them have been ripped off. A lot of them have come to the close to the wire to lose everything. And, you know, through various decisions they've made, they've turned it around. And I think that when people are on their journey, their own business, and they hit walls, it's nice to know that other people hit walls too, and walls are part of business. And look, walls are part of life.
Janine, it's not every day I get to sit and chat with one of the most successful entrepreneurs in Australia. So my last question is going to be a little bit selfish. My business partner, Andrew, and I were taking our feet and going to start a small corporate gym in the CBD of Sydney. And we're in the beginning. We planned it. We have the concept. We have the, you know, the pitch and everything. My question to you is, what I'm struggling with is any advice that you would give to Andrew and I in starting, and any entrepreneurs out there listening who want to start a business, what advice would you give me and them?
I think that the first thing is, you know, I know it's sort of a bit boring, but, you know, that business plan is really critical, because sometimes when you do the business plan, you might think, gee, it was a good idea at the time, but the numbers don't stack up, or I don't believe that that area with that rent, with that walk traffic, with that, all those things is going to make a business. So you've got to kind of do your work. You've got to do your work before you put your money into it. And then there's a point where you can be analysis paralysis, where you analyze yourself to the moon and back and actually not get started. So there's a point where you've got to go, right, this is what I think it is. Now let's get going and and hopefully I've thought of some of the issues. I won't think of all of them, but I'll think of some of the issues through my business plan. I've already thought about what I can do to fix it. So I think having a plan is really important, having having the agility to move and adjust that plan when required is important. And it's, you know, making sure that you've got the capital to make sure that you can fund it, because I can tell you the one thing I can guarantee you, or anyone listening, is that you think that you start a business, it means that you're on the gravy chain to success. But the reality is, for us, it was sell the family home, don't take a salary for 3 years, don't take a penny out of the business until for 5 years, and work the hardest you've ever worked in your life. So as long as that, which doesn't sound that appealing, but that's the reality. That is the reality. It's, you know, go back to work, live with your parents so you can put every cent into the business. Like it's that stuff that actually makes, you know, they're the ones where you go, oh, okay, he lived on his friend's floor for 6 months so he didn't have to pay rent, so he put all the money in the business. He, you know, my office for the first 2 years of Boost's business was my home. You know, I had people put in bedrooms, I had people put in kitchens. I mean, it was just squeezing them everywhere because, you know, every cent was into driving the business forward, not into things that I could somehow save somewhere else.
Thank you for that.
Janine, we really appreciate your time today. Before we let you leave, everyone get following Janine. She's on Twitter at Janine Boost. Catch her website, www.janinealice.com.au. Of course, you can see her. She's the star of Network 10 Shark Tank. And make sure you go buy her book, The Accidental Entrepreneur.
Janine, thank you so much for stopping by, sharing that insight. We really value and appreciate you, so thank you.
No, my pleasure. Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Johnny, that was Janine Ellis, man.
That's awesome. Whenever you and I could share space, one, with an Aussie-born success story, but let alone probably a global icon in terms of what she's done and the country she's reaching with her vision.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience, one of those things. She could have just given us 10 minutes of her time. I would have been pretty happy.
For sure. And we were kind of just rapid-firing. It was one of those, you know, style interviews.
Yeah,
but she had time
cool
for
to
us.
See her and stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, with adversity, you just got to deal with it. And I think we had a pretty good job. We got some good questions out there. So if you did enjoy that, guys, please tag your family and friends in posts and tag us in posts and let us know what you think of the episode.
Yeah, for sure. That's one thing about you and I, TK, is that we're really open to feedback. And I think that's important for anybody out there who wants to develop themselves, whether they're just getting started with a vision or they're like us, 170-plus episodes in. We need that feedback, guys. We need you to keep pitching in. We appreciate it. Let us know what we could do better and let us know who you want us to talk to.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, just back to Janine for a quick sec. I haven't actually seen Shark Tank yet. I'm really interested to see how she actually approaches when entrepreneurs. She was pretty kind when you asked her that last question. So
she gave us a lot. Now, are you familiar with like the show's skeleton? Like how?
Yeah, I watched the American version before, and obviously that's been over season. What is that, season something?
I don't know. I was going to ask you now then to share. Like, is it one of these things that people pitch them ideas and then she says yes or no, or is she like consulting with the idea? How is it? I've never seen
the episodes I've seen in America. It's kind of like you get pitched. And then the shark gets the opportunity to say yes or no.
Oh.
So I think Cuban was actually on a season, if he's not.
In America.
Still on the seasons.
Billionaire from Pittsburgh, Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah. My dad always used to say, Johnny, all it ever takes is one great idea to change the world.
Potentially. It takes one idea to kind of change your life as well.
For sure.
I can kind of see, because from the business, like, successful people that I know, it's like, I don't think she'll be in Boost forever. I can't see that happening.
Well, I don't even know if we could even say if she's in Boost, but I think Boost is her path of her work.
Technically,
you know,
she's the director of the actual...
Yeah. Like, she's a figurehead.
Parent company. Either I can see her bringing it down to the children when they're ready to take over.
It's an empire.
Sell it.
You would think so. You know, it's definitely an empire. I think now with that credibility, and this is, guys, why we always preach on the show that if you have, like, a passion about something, just get started and, you know, don't quit, because she's at the stage in her life and her career where literally if she wanted to, she doesn't have to work. And people would pay to hear her speak.
Yeah.
People would pay for her advice. She could easily just chill if she wanted to. But you could kind of get the point
consulting that and all sorts of
somebody
stuff
who's confusing. Created a brand like that probably isn't ever going to stop. If she does leave Boost, it'll probably go into something else. People like her aren't wired to press pause. Like, she reminds me of a female Gary Vaynerchuk. I would love to see Gary V and Janine in the same room talking about, like, social media trends or the wellness space. That I would pay to see that.
Yeah.
Guys, let's hook this up and let me and Tristan present that.
Yeah, I'd love to. Guys, we've got some exciting shows coming up. Unfortunately, our interview with Nick Gill is going to be delayed a couple of weeks, so apologies about that. Unfortunately, some training kind of came on. All Blacks are playing the Wallabies
this America, week. The greatest sporting team of all time. I think they say that man has ever seen. Nick Gill is the strength coach behind that.
Yeah, so we'll bring that to you very shortly. Next week on the show, we've also got a returning guest, Corey Peacock.
Doctor Corey Peacock, Ohio boy in the house. The kid keeps... I like seeing this too. Like, with you and I and our vision, when we have guests on and they come back. And even if they haven't come back, we kind of keep an eye on them and see what they continually to do. I know he's doing a lot of work. You know, the Black Zillions, they shut down, but he's working still closely hand-in-hand with fighters and keeps elevating his game, man. I'm stoked to get him on.
Yeah, a couple other great guests. Phil White, who's a great author. He co-authored Unplugged with Brian McKenzie and our latest episode
Doctor
with Andy Galpin. So he'll be coming on, talk about his new book as well.
Did you finish it?
And I'm just in process, so hopefully by next Saturday I'll have that done. You started?
Yeah, no, it's in the email. I got to open that.
Yeah,
thing up.
Definitely.
You were storming through it, so I'm going to get it done too.
Yeah, the second one actually as well, because he wrote it with the Michigan strength and conditioning coach, which is
U of M
there as well,
like University of Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so it's a really cool book. I've read it.
About the Ohio
Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
Yeah, he wrote the foreword for it. So
yeah, I get to talk shit then about how Ohio State's been dominating them for 20 years.
And then the last guest next week is Paul Rabil. So Paul is the number one lacrosse player in America. Sports entertainment is his thing. He's got a great podcast if you haven't seen it yet. And please look him up, paulrabil.com. He's his...
Rabil?
Yeah, and his podcast, it just slips my mind because I've had a huge day today. Something Suits... I listen to it all the time. I can't believe I forget.
It's
suiting up.
Yeah, Rabel's a beast. I like what you said there. He's kind of like fusing the two of like professional athlete and business. And his message is like the importance of, you know, these athletes, a lot of times when their career comes to an end, they really don't have a game plan. You would think that by now where we are in 2017, there'd be at least maybe a system.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not a superstar. You made some money. You got a name. You can leverage that. What could you do? We're here for you. That's
some huge resources out there.
That's
for
right.
You know, athletes that haven't taken that step yet. But can't wait to get him on. Johnny, thanks for your company today, mates.
TK, it's always a pleasure. I'll give you a hug.
Janine, thank you if you're listening for coming on the show.
Yeah, that was an awesome chat, TK. Everyone listening, we appreciate you. Janine, you're a beast.
All right, guys, we'll check you next week.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.